development yet north of I-84, and so the roundabouts aren't needed for capacity. This is all looking at a 20-year horizon. They do, you know, eventually we do expect development to occur north of I-84. It's just a matter of timing, and at that time we would need to move into, you know, one of the phases that does include the roundabout control.
This is Teresa Fenniger with ODOT Region 5 in the Grand. And the only thing I would add, I know it was mentioned earlier that adopting into urban climate to the Oregon Highway Plan. I just wanted to be, you know, point out that it is after the, you know, was presented to the county commissioners, and I think they proceed forward with adoption of the plan, we will then take it to our Oregon Transportation Commission for adoption. So that's how that gets refined into the Oregon Highway Plan. So there'll be another round of hearings, effectively presenting it to the Oregon Transportation Commission, and they will approve or not approve the plan that's presented, just recognizing that it's a collaborative effort. So the adoption by the county, and there also needs to be approval by the Oregon Transportation Commission, because it is a agreed to plan as far as the concept and access management plan and all the other details that are included.
Any additional questions? Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
So, on the plan that takes the least amount of time, how much less time and how disruptive is that?
You mean the phasing option?
Yeah.
That's probably a Christine question.
Okay.
Could you hear that okay, Christine? So which of the phasing options is quicker and takes the least amount of time?
Interruptions.
And including interruptions, that's a really good question.
How does it interrupt everybody's lives there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when do you know which phase to follow? Is it based on development on the north, on the south, both? If you could just elaborate a little bit more, that'd be helpful.
Yeah, so the options were developed so that the improvements and the capacity could be accomplished in stages or steps, which kind of helps to spread out the cost without requiring this, you know, major investment all at once. I would say that two of the options will kind of take less time, so to speak. Option one, which if in the 20-year horizon, if there isn't development north of I-84, you know, this option one requires the least amount of construction compared to options two and three, which have those roundabouts to support development north of I-84. When you're comparing, so option two is the one that's phased out a little bit more than option three, which kind of just does everything at once. It's a little early on in the planning process to be able to say what the time differences or the, you know, construction duration will be. That would all be worked out during the design phase. And which option gets implemented, whether you kind of start with the beginning option or go straight to the full build out, is really going to depend on how quickly the area develops.
So how does the area of the interchange function during the construction process?
That would also be determined, you know, that's something that is developed during the design phase. Teresa, I don't know if you want to comment on that as well, based on the recent project at the interchange.
Well, I think you said that, you know, we'll have to be considered when we're in the design, how it's going to be implemented. You know, would we be looking at doing one side and the other? Keeping the diamonds as long as we can on one side and versus the other, those type of things might be considered until you actually get the full build out. You know, we're making the connection. It might be one option that you look at doing, but all that will be worked out during the season.
It just seems like that would be the thing that most people that are using the area would be most concerned with. How long is that going to take, and how are they going to deal with it during the construction process? Obviously, after construction, it should work fine. But
right.
How do you make those impacts as less as possible? I mean, something needs to be given a lot of thought.
Yeah, exactly. That would be part of the staging of it and how to construct it and what items like the diamond, the existing diamond that you can maintain until you have to disconnect and add the other, you know, things like that will probably be considered in the process as you get.
I guess one thing I can mention is with the addition of the loop ramp, there's some redundancy with, you know, how that construction is occurring, where, you know, the new one can be constructed while the existing ramp remains open and then relocating and working on the old ramp. So, and oftentimes roundabouts can maintain traffic as they're being constructed by using half, you know, part of the roundabout while the other part is being constructed. But I agree that during the design process, the phasing of construction will be considered to try to minimize any impacts to the flow of traffic during construction.
Any additional questions for Christine or staff?
To be clear, I believe she's already covered it. We have not yet identified any funding for this at all.
That's correct.
Okay.
Any additional questions? Okay, at this time, I will open for public testimony for, against, neutral. I do ask that you limit your comments to 5 minutes as we have some additional information coming in the future on this. So anyone wanting to name, address, anybody in the audience or anybody on Zoom?
I do. Are we going pro, for, against, neutral,
yeah,
or which one first?
Since it's different, it's land use and it's not a... We're the, you know, the applicant, so yes, it's for, it's what I said, anyone opposed or against or just neutral, so yes, just come up, name, address.
Yep, Jonathan Tallman, address 706 Mount Hood. Well, first of all, I'd like to say that when I sent that email, and I just sent it again, Tamara, it just got announced through KONA that 816,000 acre location is already been funded by Morrow County on this project. So, I mean, that needs to be a part of that record. This wasn't a part of any of my emails. We, as you can see, they already have water construction here, okay? We really need to note that. I also put in there that there is, and this is where I believe, because of the power line that goes through, why Norma, working for the City of Boardman, has a conflict of interest.
I don't work for the City of Boardman. She does not.
Oh, good. So, right now, this overlay of the process of the protective order that went through my eminent domain case, protective order, it's in the packet there, 219, it talks about Amazon already delivering to the site. I have an Onyx site right next to Love's And the city of Boardman just sold the property to an undisclosed developer for a substation. I also put in pictures of that substation as well, too. And then I put in about the KONA, if you can look up on your account there, 816,000 KONA article about an Amazon site. So all this has been approved by the Morrill County, but it isn't a part of any of the record. This is the part where the disclosures and all this stuff up front needs to be shown and attached to the record. So it is not a part of the record. I just emailed you again, Tamara, and I this is where I believe this is an obstruction of justice, where I ask stuff to be a part of the record and it changes right before me, and that's why I have to see once I get here. Now please note, Jacob Kane from the Port of Morrill, who's probably signed a non-disclosure agreement, okay? That isn't put in here at all. Sat at 452 and had meetings with Tamara, with ODOT, okay? Assumably, all right? All this changes on the fly. There's no way. This is a plan. If this is $219 million project or whatever it is, $200 million project, this stuff needs to be laid out, ironed out, just like you said, as far as how much money. We need to know where that money's coming from. I, as a taxpayer with ODOT and Morrill County, shouldn't have to pay for this. And then I go to the article where UEC in 2019, those who trigger the growth pay for the growth. Where is Umatilla Electric on that protective order? It shows in that, which should be a part of that record, it should be a part of everything that is being paid. All those fees that Amazon is doing as far as this construction job is tied to this. And for us not to say the word Amazon or can't say it or non-disclosure or conflict of interest and the infrastructure needs, that water pipeline, I'm going to get it. I'm going to have to find it again. Port of Morrill has gotten $250 million, okay? I believe that Rashi, okay, I don't know how you say their name, got a $90 million contract for this year. This is water infrastructure that's going over our roads right now, and we don't even want to talk about it when it comes to ODOT or any part of these meetings, and we just are surprised that this just comes on our doorstep, and, oh, we have no idea. And I view like I'm crazy, but when I bring this to you time and time again, we have to ask those questions. I gave you a list of questions. I would like for you to, each one of you, ask Tamara each one of these questions and get direct answers, because me, I can't be voted in because of all this stuff that they've said about me. I can't be appointed to any boards because of everything that's been said about me. You people are the civic leaders that need to ask questions. And I'm sorry if this comes out harsh, but this is why we're going to have another problem here with these truckers, is they're causing this growth, and it's putting pain on us as a taxpayer when Amazon didn't pay $107 million in taxes. And this is going to be another tax on top of it, on our infrastructure that is, you know, wink, wink, we've already got it. We don't know how it's going to go there. Well, guess what? It's you guys are paying for it. You guys represent. In that Rolling Stones article, it says $2 billion is taking from this county. We are the gatekeepers. You guys are the gatekeepers on this funding. And you guys can say, who is paying for this? Not, oh, well, I got my money because I sold out here or I sold out there. This is infrastructure cost. I have to pay $1,000 a month on all my property for a school bond. And that's because they're not paying into the Morrill County Health District, the school bond, or anything like that. And these questions need to be asked. Please, please ask these questions. This is $200 million. That Amazon has $90 billion. And $200 million is a joke.
Thank you. At this time, do I have any additional names?
Well, I wasn't going to say anything.
Address.
Randy Baker, 70251 Coonsie Lane.
I'm sorry, I missed your name because I was too busy talking. What was it?
Well, you said give my name, so I was.
I know, but I was going through more. So could you please repeat that for me?
Randy Baker.
Thank you.
70251 Pioneer Lane. Okay. And that's important. As far as a positive comment, the best idea is having a roundabout. That's the short thing. This young man over here, Mr. George, one of my many careers up in Alaska had to do with highways. Some quick comments to your question, and I just jotted some of them. But roundabouts have slower traffic patterns, less speeds. Any auto impacts working through a roundabout is always less than 90 degrees, so there's less damage, less human injury. Because of the area it takes for a roundabout, it's usually a larger open area, so it has much more visibility for drivers coming upon it. And the last one was to add, was already said, you only have right-hand turns.
That makes sense.
I mean, that's just my two cents of some of the past life there.
I've seen roundabouts or corrales that they made where trucks couldn't get through to, I worked for the moving company, they couldn't deliver to people's houses because the way they designed roundabouts, you couldn't get around the corner. So
we talked about that quite a bit at the last meeting.
We did.
Because there's so much traffic and long trailers on this that these are going to be big.
And I think that could also be engineered out in the design. I really do. So
my other question is this body the controlling entity of the water pipes that are going in on Coonsey Lane? Okay. Thank you.
At this time, is there any additional, anyone online?
I can add one more to your roundabout. There's no power to them, so lights can't go out.
So long term, it'd be better, actually.
Yeah. So we don't have to worry about power outages and lights going out and all that type of stuff, and then having direct traffic and that. So
I'd find far less repairs.
I, for one, would like to delay the very first stoplight in Morrow County as long as I can.
Okay.
Just me.
Megan? Okay, I saw she just
Hi, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Megan Lynn. I work for Perkins Coie with an address of 1120 Northwest Coos Street in Portland, Oregon, and I'm here representing Amazon Data Services, which owns property within the proposed IAMP overlay zone. And I'm going to keep this really short. I just want to say Amazon does support the county and ODOT's efforts to address the long-term safety and function of this interchange. We did see when we reviewed the code, certain provisions where we really couldn't tell what the exact permitting process and standards would be to achieve compliance, which we thought could be clarified, so we submitted a comment letter just raising some questions, but just wanted to make clear to this audience that this is an opposition to the IAMP effort. We know it's been underway for a while, and we just want to make sure that the process and standards for implementation are clear.
Great, thank you. Any additional comments?
Yes. Barrett Dash, 280 Northwest Washington Avenue, Aragon, Oregon. I'm just going to keep it real brief. Just have a few questions and concerns. The first one is funding. So where's the money going to come from? And why would it be a reasonable expectation for the taxpayers of Morrow County to foot the bill on this? We're not getting the direct benefits necessarily. And as Jonathan mentioned about whoever's bringing the growth should pay for the growth. I'm kind of on board with that too. Also, the funding and the cost variables. How do we bookend the options, and what is going to be the determining factor to decide if we are going to go for option one or option three? What's going to be the motivating factor? What's going to be the deciding factor? Also, another question is in regards to landowner impact, especially with agricultural and farmland, EFU, farm zone property, and also any other potential zoning changes that might happen or that might be implemented from EFU farm zone properties to commercial or commercial industrial, like that have happened in the past or that are proposed on some other acreages. And is that against Oregon state law to flip EFU farm zone property to commercial and take agricultural water that is supposed to be attached to a property based on water rights for agriculture and food production and pull that into an industrial facility. As a long-term farmer, small farmer and larger farmer, I've seen the impact of water and drought is a real thing. So what are we going to do to mitigate the water impact as well as the road impact? Relative to the traffic and the ODOT end of this, does ODOT have any traffic studies or traffic data or projections on what the projected traffic flow is going to be over the next 1 to 20 years? A 20-year time frame is a long time frame. What does a 2-year time frame look like, a 5-year time frame, a 10-year time frame? We can't go from having a decision in a couple months to a 20-year plan and not know how the money's going to be spent and where that's going to go. And lastly, how is this going to affect the all of the overall growth of Morrow County, and what is the long-term impact of all of the Tower Road development, not just the overlay zone, but the other data centers, the other power lines and power infrastructure that's going in, the water infrastructure that's going in? What are the long-term impacts of that? And what type of environmental assessments or environmental impact studies have been done, or are any of them planned? And if not, why not? So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And appreciate the opportunity.
Comments?
This is my first day on the job, so to speak, so I'm trying to get up to speed, and I've only been in this county for since 2020. So that is a good question. Does Amazon foot any of the bill of these new constructions? And how many new data centers are we going to have, you know, 10 years down the road? And does that affect our water costs and our electric bills as citizens? I mean, as just the average citizen who's lived here for a long time.
So I'll answer briefly and generically. So I can't speak during this hearing for this interchange area management plan about a specific development.
Okay.
But I can tell you when we receive an application for a data center, we require a traffic impact analysis, and the way Oregon's program works, it's actually fairly universal. The planners will assess the impacts of that particular development, and if there are impacts either on-site or off-site that are directly tied to that impact, we require mitigation. Sometimes we call those conditions of approval. Our threshold for a traffic study is 400 trips per day. So the last five data centers required a traffic impact analysis, and they have done some offsite. So a turn lane on Bombing Range Road, there will be a turn lane on Tower Road for the most recent data center. So they do. We don't really have the tools in place to look at cumulative impacts. By design, local planning offices don't, because again, the impacts are assessed on a site-specific development. So later this summer or fall, we will go into another long-range planning effort. We call this long-range planning because it's not a specific development application. And our next long-range planning effort is to update our transportation system plan. And among other things that we will be looking at, because that plan is well over 10 years old and a lot has happened in the county since that, we'll be looking at system development charges. That is just one option. It would, in theory, be able to assign a dollar amount to offset traffic for a development that would be used for something like an intersection improvement. We also have in our code the ability to approve a regional mitigation project if a developer wanted to look at something like that. So the way the system is designed, we do assess impacts, but the developer is always given the benefit of the doubt that the existing system has the capacity. That's why we have public roads. And if a development doesn't meet the capacity, or they go over a trip generation threshold or volume to capacity ratio, and you have a level of service where you're waiting, for example, two or three traffic lights to get through, and that intersection is failing, then at least a portion of that intersection improvement would be tied to that development that sent that that particular intersection to function poorly. That's a general overview. So we don't just check all the boxes and say, you're a big development, you don't have to pay. It's a pretty nuanced analysis. So a development does a traffic impact analysis. The county has a traffic engineer of record. We don't have any engineers on staff in the planning department or in the public works, so we will ask them to look at the numbers, and we're in the process of several of those right now.
I have a go ahead.
I was just going to say, before we finish the public comment, will there be time to delve into this very conversation about how to deal with that later tonight when we get into just the commissioner's comments?
I'm sorry if I stepped out of turn for the public comments.
I think it makes sense. I think in the context of the interchange area management plan, we're not, this is not a discussion about data centers, but I will take some liberty to tell you that many area residents have talked with the Board of Commissioners about general concerns about data centers, and we're looking at having a work session about that. Cumulative impacts, net impacts, are we doing things right, how much is enough, those kind of questions. For all of those data centers that have been approved, they checked all the boxes. They've met all those requirements. A really interesting listen or watch on video, the governor of Oregon has appointed the Data Center Advisory Committee. You can just Google that. They just finished their third session. So it's a topic not just in Morrow and Umatilla counties, it's a topic statewide. Some really technical information about what data centers look like and what they look for, how they're improving energy efficiency, power efficiency, some of the impacts. There will be at least three, if not four more, and then a report to the governor's office. So we're, in a way, ahead of that listening session, but I think it's really good information from people who don't have a specific stake in our region, except I presented last Friday, just a local government perspective. I was a county perspective, and somebody from Hillsborough was a city perspective. What does the permitting process look like? So that committee asked questions very similar to yours, Commissioner George. How does that permitting process look like at the local level?
The question I had was still around, especially in regards to this, mm-hmm. The traffic impact analysis. Mm-hmm. Do we have an established baseline of what the traffic looks like today?
Yes.
Yeah.
And will we continue to monitor that? Because that's the point, is I think that's where our constituents are frustrated, is until I asked, I didn't even know. I assumed we did, but mm-hmm. didn't know mm-hmm. that we did mm-hmm. have a traffic baseline of what it is today, or even a year ago, of what the traffic pattern looked like, and how do we keep accountability for, we'll say, the large entities in question, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The developers in question in the area. As traffic grows, can we attest accountability for that increase in traffic to these large developments? I think it would be very easy to prove that.
And that's what each individual TIA, or traffic impact analysis, yeah. does. How much impact do you have for project A or project B? And if you have a chance to read the full interchange area management plan, Christine and her team made a lot of assumptions of what that 20-year growth horizon would be based on existing zoning.
Yeah, I saw their thresholds.
Yeah, and
they had, that's actually what prompted the question.
Okay, and we're not, depending on the rate of development out there, we'll meet those before 20 years, but.
Yeah.
Yep. What was your name? I'm sorry.
Barrett.
Barrett.
Yeah, Barrett, like 50 caliber.
Last month, and I guess if we wanted to have a brief overview, they did a very detailed 20-year traffic analysis of what they were expecting. You know, you didn't hear that, but they, I don't know if you have access to that somehow.
Yes, it's online.
ODOT could give you that, but it's surprising what they're projecting for the traffic.
It was unbelievable, the volume that was expected.
Can I ask one question from here, or do you need
me to come up?
I have it's just one super quick question.
Yep.
Barrett Dash, 280 Northwest Washington Avenue, Irrigan. Has there been any consideration of a thing like an impact tax for these big, heavy vehicles? Or, you know, I'm picking up what you're putting down, Commissioner, about the big swingers that are moving a lot of equipment around, the heavy 100,000-pound GVW trucks, gravel trucks and such like that, that are either Amazon related or Amazon subcontractors that are out of state in particular. Those folks are not paying state taxes as far as ODOT licensing fees, and most of those trucks are Indiana plates or out of area plates. Has Mora County thought about anything like that, like an impact tax? If we're not gonna get a tax base from those folks at all.
Yeah. The taxation issues are
that's for the Board of Commissioners.
That
I ain't touching that.
Yeah.
Okay.
They pay for mileage. They pay for mileage to the state.
Yeah, but even the trucks that's right, Michaela, that's right. Even trucks, Teresa could answer that. It's a little bit off topic of here, but I did hear the question.
So I just want to apologize for my sudden outburst on Jonathan Tallman's comment on my employment. So I apologize, Jonathan.
I apologize, too.
Okay, with that being done, we will close the public hearing, and this will be continued until the June 30th meeting.
Should we do that by vote? So maybe somebody makes some motion that we continue the hearing and then vote on it.
Okay.
So, I make a motion that we continue to June 30th, both with all the new, whether it was the stuff we received today or.
I'll second.
Okay. Yeah. Motion's been made. Second. Any additional discussion?
I would just add to clarify that the continued hearing on June 30th will be in Hefner at 6 p.m. at the Bartholomew building. What's the address?
110 North Court Street.
110 North Court Street. So we don't re-advertise because we state the date, time, and location.
Okay. With that, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Thank you. Okay. Our next part is Planning Commission work session. This work session is to discuss among us and staff on the commercial trucking business and residential. At this time, the public is welcome to listen, but public testimony will not be invited. This is strictly a work session trying to come up with ideas. There is public comment available at the end of the meeting as well. So, with that,
I think Christine and Caitlin, they're going to earn their keep tonight. They're going to start off the discussion.
Okay.
Well, as you know, we have been working with property owners who own small business or family-related trucking businesses. The problem is that they're being located in residential zones. That is against our current zoning, and as a way to find a temporary solution for that, we permitted temporary home occupation permits. Before we really get into this, does anybody in the audience need translation.
Alguien na upang que les interpret. Is it just her?
Well, just let us, like, stop us if it gets to a point that...
Mm-hmm. Okay. And because of that, for the memo that I submitted for the packet, I didn't add a translated version of that, so I'll just read that real quick.
Okay.
We also have translated versions available if anybody wants one. Okay. Home occupation permits for family-operated trucking businesses in residential zones. The Morrill County Planning Department, in coordination with the Planning Commission, has been working with property owners to allow temporary home occupation permits for family-operated trucking businesses. Should I speak slower or for translation purposes?
Okay.
Within suburban, rural, or farm residential zones. These temporary permits were initially approved in 2024 as a short-term solution to provide property owners with sufficient time to relocate or modify their business without significantly impacting their operations. The permits have included operational limitations to help ensure compatibility with surrounding residential uses. In 2025, one such home occupation permit was appealed to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals, or LUBA, by the City of Oregon. A final decision was issued January of 2026 and reviewed by the Planning Department and Morrill County Land Council. Dan Kearns, he's on with us tonight. In essence, LUBA reversed the county's decision, and as a result, this ruling is expected to affect a substantial number of previously approved home occupation permits for family-operated trucking businesses. LUBA's reversal indicates that the county's prior interpretation and application of home occupation provisions may not be consistent with applicable land use law or the zoning ordinance. This determination necessitates that the county reassess its approach to permitting trucking-related home occupations within residential zones. Additionally, the decision will significantly limit or potentially preclude the renewal of previously approved temporary permits, many of which were granted for 1 year, with the option to renewal for up to 2 years. And this was both in 2024 and 2025. Key components of this work session will include a focused discussion on the status of existing permits, including whether they should remain valid, be revoked, deemed ineligible for renewal, or referred to code enforcement. The session will also explore potential compliance pathways for affected property owners, as well as possible amendments to the Morrill County Zoning Ordinance. Additionally, seasonal agricultural and economic impacts will also be taken into consideration. So I've also attached a matrix and a list of all of the trucking permits that we have granted in 2024 and 2025. And no names are listed.
Can we request that the person who's behind this be listed, the city employee that pushed this?
It's public record. It was the city manager, Aaron Palmquist, pushed for the LUBA appeal.
Yeah.
So on the list, you can see that it's not just in suburban residential zones. They're also in rural residential zones. They're in farm residential zones. And every one of those zones within our county ordinance specifically states suburban residential zone, for example. In suburban residential, 2A, 2-acre SR2A zone, commercial trucks and trucking businesses are not in allowed use. A landowner may be allowed to use a truck or tractor unit as personal transportation to the resident parcel. No more than one truck or tractor unit is allowed per parcel. And that basically is reiterated throughout the different residential zones. If it was EFU or industrial or commercial, there would be a difference.
We could permit it.
No. Yes. So looking at option one would be to accept the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals final decision which would result as the home occupation permits will no longer be renewed. Property owners with an existing permit may continue operating under it until it expires, but renewals will not be permitted. Option two, amend and revise current code language. Dan, our legal counsel, provided some language for an example. In suburban residential 2A, 2-acre SR2A zone, commercial trucks and trucking businesses are not as an allowed use, except as allowed as a home occupations under MCZO, Moore County Zoning Ordinance 3.051D3, when suitably conditioned and limited to two truck or trailer units. So that was his example of amending our current code language. This would acknowledge that limited truck business is operated as legitimate home occupations out of the family home are allowed, limited to two truck or trailer combinations. Option three,